two choices. We have a few choices. We haven't been getting to spend a lot of time together in the classroom setting. I'm trying to catch each of you on his own. I haven't gotten to talk to you or you. And it would be nice, as a side note, to get your parents' email addresses so we could send them some pictures so they could enjoy. So,
can we also get the pictures?
Sure. Do me a favor. In the beginning of next week, when you have a free minute, come by, give me your parents' email addresses, and we'll be able to move that forward. We could do one of two things today. What I was going to do, we're down to 20 minutes, 15 minutes now, because you guys have your learning with your chavrusas in the Beis Medrash in 15 minutes. So here's what I wanted to do. We could do one of two things. What we try to do is have question-answer sessions where you guys pose questions and we try to cover topics in accordance with what's important to you. But there's one topic which I wanted us to cover, especially in light of the topic of this week's learning, Torah, Am, Aretz. The focus this week was about the land of Israel. So I wanted to think in terms of every person's communal responsibility, where you foresee yourselves in 10, 15, 20 years, even in 5 years, even in 1 year, when you come back to your respective communities. And I'm leaving it up to you. We'll take a quick vote whether our focus is going to be on this or have an open session where you guys could ask questions. Remember, we're down to about 12 minutes. So whichever way you want to go. What's the vote? How many people want to do me and my community?
That came up in our last year that we didn't have a chance to cover.
So okay. You want to have an open session? How many people want open session? Okay. So that wins. Okay, go ahead. Yes.
How do we? I didn't realize that there were different opinions as to what the 613 mitzvot were. So how do we know that we're supposed to try and find 613 exactly?
Okay, excellent question. Let's begin with an introduction, and we'll try to get to that. The Torah was given to Moshe at Sinai, the written law together with the oral law. And together with the Torah was given a concept of 613. It shows up throughout the Torah. In 2 weeks we're going to read about how Yaakov sends a message back to Esav and he says, I've been living with Lavan, but I'm ready to meet you. What is he saying? Lavan Garti. Garti is gematria, it's the same letters as Taryag. He's telling him, even though I went to Lavan, I've been keeping Taryag. The concept of Taryag shows up all over. Ruth, the most famous convert, right? Ruth was keeping the 7 Noahide laws, and the numeric value of her name is 606, the number of mitzvot she added to her life. We find throughout the Midrashim and throughout Chazal the concept of 613. The primary source that people usually refer to is the Gemara in Makos, where the Gemara says, Torah tzivalonu Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu taught us Torah. The numerical value of Torah is 611. Two mitzvot we heard directly from God. The first two commandments, God speaks in first person, I am Hashem, your God. Thou shalt not have any other powers that you believe in other than me. Those two commandments we heard directly from God. The other 611 we heard from Moshe. So we find throughout Chazal the concept of 613. But we have to know that when we speak about 613 mitzvot, it's a number that can sometimes be misleading. For example, God commands us, we have to be kind. That commandment encompasses so many things. It means giving a loan. It means helping a person get off the bus. It means visiting the sick. It means going to a levaya. It means many things. So when we have a discussion among the sages, how do we count the 613? It's really a discussion in how do we break up that number. But just because something isn't enumerated as one of the 613 doesn't mean it's not biblical. We have a biblical commandment to read Shema every morning and every night. Does that count as one or as two? Maimonides counts it as one, even though it's really two separate mitzvot. So the discussion between the sages about how you count the 613 in most areas is a discussion about whether you count this as one mitzvah, as two mitzvot, what enters the count and what does not enter the count. Now, obviously, this is a concept which Maimonides wrote a whole book on. It's really an introduction to a book, but it's its own work. I give a class on this. You could read Maimonides' intro to the Sefer HaMitzvot. If you go to the webpage online, you could see it. Tonight, I'm giving the third class, but it's a class that's going to take us about 3 years, learning Maimonides' opinion. And that's without Nachmanides' commentary on it. So obviously I'm oversimplifying this. But in a nutshell, that's what it boils down to. There are areas where there was an argument between the rabbis. Is this an obligatory mitzvah or a mitzvah which you may do? For example, the Torah tells us if one feels like his wife is cheating on him, then he could do the whole procession of Sota. You guys learned that? So there's an argument between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. Is that obligatory upon the husband? Or is it a mitzvah that he can if he wants to? There are other mitzvot like that. So the question is, are you obligated to do that process? Is it a mitzvah? Or is it a process that the Torah makes available to you, but it's really a reshut? So there are a few. It boils down to about six mitzvot, which in the time of the Tanaim, there was an argument whether it's mitzvah or reshut. But the arguments of the 613, again, is not. Most of the arguments are not about that. Most arguments are just a question of how do you enumerate it.
It doesn't make sense to me that we should spend time discussing whether or not something counts as one mitzvah or two mitzvahs. I don't see what the importance of fitting them into 613 is.
So to an extent, you're right. There is an aspect. There are multiple understandings as to why it would be important, but for us, you're right. It's not important. The one aspect of its importance, an easy understanding of why it's important, you could see if you go to Eish HaTorah, Eish.com, on their website, they put together a song where if you learn the song over a period of a month, I think you could learn all 613 mitzvot by heart. By knowing, by enumerating the 613, the Rambam says, for example, why is he enumerating them? The song, they made their own song where each word reminds you of another mitzvah, and if you learn the song, you can know all 613 mitzvah. Look, how many people know that you're not allowed to castrate an animal? It's a biblical mitzvah. If you own an animal, you're not allowed to neuter the animal. People don't know that. It's a biblical mitzvah. How many people know that you're not allowed to shave with a razor? It's a biblical mitzvah. People don't know. Just last night, a guy who's been learning with me for months shaved his head. He doesn't know that there's a biblical mitzvah, even if you're using scissors. You have to leave the corners from here to here. You have a hairline that ends here at the widow's peak. You have a hairline that continues behind the ear. You draw a straight line from there downward. You have to leave the hair long enough that you can fold the hair onto itself. It doesn't have to be very long, but you may not shave it. It has nothing to do with a knife. The biblical prohibition not to shave with a knife is your beard, the corners of your face, which we don't know what they are. So here you have mitzvot that people transgress daily, unfortunately, throughout Israel. They sell razors in this country, unfortunately. I mean, you might say they're all for women's legs, but we know it's not that way. I mean, people are buying shavers and razors and shaving with a razor, and it's biblically prohibited. So one of the advantages of enumerating the 613, I'll get to you in a second, Rafi, is that we know the mitzvot. And, for example, you could go to Deish.com and learn it.
Would it really be the end of the world if we had 620 mitzvot?
No. Makes no difference.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. It's a question of number. But the Rambam says the reason he's enumerating it is because he's about to write a halachic work that he wants should encompass all of the Torah. He wants to make sure he doesn't forget something. Right. So he says, I'll enumerate 613.
That's the thing. If you're like, I shouldn't add that one because then I'll have 614, so I'll just encompass it in this one. It seems silly and unnecessary.
Granted, I agree with you. At our stage right now, it seems unnecessary. When we'll learn more...
Was it necessary?
No, when we'll learn more, we'll understand why it has relevance. You're right. From our perspective today, it seems unnecessary. When we'll learn more, then we could understand the difference between if it's one sort or two mitzvot. I'll give you an example. Let's say I have right now, I'll give you a simple example, but this is just a small feeling for where it could be relevant. Let's say I have right now out there, Rav Nerio would enjoy a cup of tea. And my cell phone rings, and my father wants a cup of tea. Now, if I'm a really halachic, person, so I would think, wait a second, how many mitzvot do I perform when I bring my parent a cup of tea? Ben nam lechavero and kibud avim. How many mitzvot do I perform when I give Rav Neri a cup of tea? Ben nam lechavero, kvot talmidei chachamim, and more. So that's a simple example. Now you could understand that I'm giving a very simple example. There could be cases where it's a much bigger example, a much bigger question. For example, Siamese twins are born. They're attached. Now, we have to separate them. They're going to die if they remain the way they are. Which one remains alive? They share heart, they share brain. Now, part of the relevance to that halachic question might be, or the question of brain death. Do we donate organs or not? Which mitzvot are relevant? How many transgressions will I transgress if I disconnect the cord and take his limbs and give them to someone else? I need to know which transgressions I'm dealing with in order to know how and if I can get around them. I mean, there can be many issues where when I know the number of mitzvot, it's going to be relevant. I gave a simple example of a cup of tea. But when you learn more, you'll see that it can have relevance to everything in life.
So, but for that example, or for that reason, shouldn't everything that can be separate, shouldn't it be separate? Saying Shema in the morning and night should be two.
It is two. You're performing two mitzvot. That enters the whole question of, just because I count it as one, does it mean I only did one? Meaning, if I said Shema in the morning and I didn't say it at night, did I do half mitzvah or whole mitzvah? I did a whole mitzvah.
Right, so then what's the advantage of putting it as
That's why I
one?
Said we're starting. You'll learn more, you'll see. It's very difficult to go into the complexities, it's square one. Yeah. But I want to give examples just so you have a perspective of where it's headed. At our stage right now, it seems like an exercise, like the Rambam says. Once I enumerate, I know I couldn't compass all of it. So even just for that, it's worthwhile. And also remember, you have to know that. At the end of the day, you have to know you're not allowed to wear a garment that has wool and linen sewn together. That's a biblical prohibition. I'm not talking about a chumrah. You have to know that. You have to know that. You can't crossbreed. You can't crossbreed trees. You can't crossbreed animals. What about in chutzarts? What about if you have a non-Jew doing it for you? All of this is discussed. But if you don't know the concept exists, you're not dealing with it.